I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point in Philadelphia. We are in the middle of convention night, the convention night when Hillary Clinton has taken the formal nomination of the Democratic Party. The first woman in American history to be the formal nominee of a major political party. This is history in the making tonight. You can join us. Are you watching this? What do you see? Does Hillary Clinton have the right message to take on Donald Trump? Sanders people, are you satisfied? You have been heard. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Here right off the floor earlier tonight, a roll call vote was going on. This was Oregon with casting their votes.
Oregon, ready for Hillary, cast 34 votes for Secretary Hillary Clinton. And Madam Secretary, Oregon, feeling the burn, cast 38 votes for Senator Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders took Oregon, not Florida. Here's Florida, voting for Sanders and Clinton. We're here right now in the convention hall with Nate Silver and Harry Enten from 538. Tell us what you think, what you see coming on the road ahead in the Clinton-Trump battle for the White House. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Nate Silver, founder, editor-in-chief at 538. Thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
Harry Enten, senior political writer, analyst at 538. Harry, welcome back.
Thank you.
And, of course, you've got your elections podcast from 538 as well that people really take a lot away from. So here we are on this night. Where do we stand? Nate, what's the latest?
If you had an election today, it would be too close to call. Heading into Cleveland last week, Clinton led Trump by about 3 points in the polling average. That was down from 7 points in June before the FBI testimony. Mm-hmm. And Trump got a typical size, we believe, convention bounce, about 3 or 4 points. It's been the average recently. Therefore, the race is as close as it can get right now. Some polls have Clinton up by a point or two. Some have Trump up 2 or 3 points. The swing state polls have not been great for Clinton lately. So we would have no idea what would happen if he had an election today. But we'll know a lot more in a few weeks.
I mean, to be fair, the Democrats have not completed their convention week. If Trump got something out of his, Hillary may well get something out of hers. Huge lineup last night. Harry, tonight is Bill Clinton. Then we go right on through President Obama and Hillary Clinton herself. The Democrats, I guess, if there's a convention bounce, it's yet to come.
Right, exactly. But the question is whether that bounce will come. I mean, we could assume that perhaps that she'd get an average size bounce just like Donald Trump did. But remember, 8 years ago, Barack Obama, after he held that massive speech outside in Denver, in fact, got very little bounce. So I think it's a little premature to assume that Hillary Clinton will get a bounce. But if she does get a bounce, then once again, she'll be bounced back and be clearly leading
in
the polls.
Upside, you know, 4 points is the over-under line for a bounce.
Okay.
She could get zero, she could get eight or ten.
Right.
I mean, we haven't seen one of those in a while, but in 2000, Al Gore got a bounce like that under sort of similar circumstances. And so, what we do know, though, is that the period for polling is very rocky right here. We know that in about 3 weeks, when everyone's watching the Olympics, hopefully it's going well, a little bit more relaxed. In about 3 weeks, whoever leads in 3 weeks, that person is quite likely to become the next president. Historically, that's when polls go from being pretty wild to not perfect, but pretty good.
3 weeks. So in just 3 weeks, like 24, a couple of dozen days, this could essentially be decided by
historical pattern? It won't be decided. The people will decide it on November 8th.
Yeah, but you're saying with it.
But historically, you see the technical curve as an inflection point where all of a sudden the polls get a lot more accurate. And the reason is that partisans who were fighting primary battles, Sanders fans, Ted Cruz fans, they have had 4 days to be persuaded by their party to come home.
Yeah.
We've seen Trump get a bump among Republicans. We think Clinton will probably get a bump from some Sanders supporters, enough to move her up by a couple of points, maybe more.
Yeah.
But there had been so many undecided voters, third party voters. That's why Trump got a normal sized bump. That's why Clinton will probably get a bump. And that's why these relations between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, on the one hand, his relatively enthusiastic endorsement. On the other hand, some of the tension in the hall from some of the more vocal Sanders supporters. That dynamic is not just a circus. It's also important for how Clinton will move up in the polls or not over the next month or so.
Nate Silver saying, watch these 3 weeks. Harry, what do we watch for then in here? What are you looking at?
Well, I think one of the key questions is by the end of this week, for instance, will we see perhaps an abatement of the Trump bounce? For instance, Hillary Clinton took back the news cycle starting on Friday night when she announced Tim Kaine as her vice presidential running mate. Historically speaking, there have been vice presidential bounces. They've been, you know, about 3 to 5 points on average. It's a little difficult to distill them sometimes. But what I would expect to see is if this has been a successful VP rollout and a successful convention, the polls coming at the end of this week and then especially at the beginning of next week, we should see Hillary Clinton start to lead in the majority of them once again.
Now, last week when we talked in Cleveland, as I recall, you had Donald Trump, the odds of him winning the election at around 37% or something like that. A couple of days ago, I think I saw you had it at 57%, and the odds on favorite. Did I get that right?
Well, that's the now cast. That is if the election is being held today.
If held today, I see.
Right.
So the one that's looking at November 8th is now 40% for Trump, which is not a big change. And what that reflects is that he's gotten about the convention bounce that we expect historically, and that's built into the model. With that said, 40% still a really, I mean, it's almost a toss-up. 40% is a really high chance that Donald Trump could become president. I think anyone in denial about the possibility of Trump winning this election needs to have had a wake-up call from the fact that the polls have gone from a 7-point lead for Clinton to a 3-point lead in a month, and with Trump's convention bounce now, not even a lead at all, really. And so, yeah, she'll probably be ahead if we talk again in 3 weeks, but we know the polls are volatile this year. Mm-hmm. We know a 3-point lead, you'd rather have one than not, but not that safe, and there are no guarantees this cycle.
Harry?
You know, you brought up the 2000 election earlier. That was another election in which we saw a lot of volatility in the polls between Gore and Bush. Don't be surprised this year, especially with a lot of undecideds, if we see that again. I think we've taken the wrong lessons from the last few cycles where the polls were pretty stable, especially last time around. Historically speaking, though, polls can bounce back and forth.
We've got a lot of questions coming in for the two of you. Miami, Florida, Jessica is calling. Jesse, you're on with Nate Silver and Harry Enten.
Hi there.
Hi, what are you thinking, Jessica?
I was wondering, all the talk about Bernie and the kind of the difference in age groups of the Bernie supporters who are not going over reminded me of when I was in my early 20s and Ralph Nader was a third-party candidate. And I'm wondering if some of the kind of the reason why some of the supporters aren't moving over is because they don't remember back when Nader maybe lost the election for Al Gore.
Yeah, let's pick it up. I mean, let's think about first age dynamics. Does the age of the supporters of a challenger within the realm of, let's say, Hillary Clinton matter? And secondly, is there a spoiler effect still out there waiting?
Absolutely. If you look at the polls, where Gary Johnson and Jill Stein tend to be doing best is among younger voters. Now, that's also the group where Sanders did best in the primary. Mm-hmm. Is it that they don't remember about Ralph Nader? I can't get in the mind of those individual voters. Poll question hasn't been asked.
Probably too young to remember, but anyway.
But, you know, it is certainly true that younger voters at this point who supported Bernie Sanders are the least likely to be behind Hillary Clinton when you ask a 3 or 4 way matchup than older Bernie Sanders supporters.
Nate, how much does the Sanders vote, the Sanders base of support matter? How much of it does Hillary Clinton need to get in order to have her best shot at Donald Trump or in order to win?
So about two-thirds of Sanders supporters say now they vote for Clinton. About one-third say they won't. It's not a lot of Trump voters, but it is this Johnson and Stein vote and a lot of undecideds. If she gets that vote, or say most of that vote, then she would go from tied with Trump to, again, 3 to 4 points ahead. But right now, you might actually have kind of a direct repeat of 2000, where right now, it looks like today, Clinton is hurt more by the presence of Jill Stein and Gary Johnson than Sanders is, or than Trump is, rather. Enough that could easily swing the outcome.
So these names, not as big as Ralph Nader, but big enough. You're saying that they could be decisive factors.
And these candidates are smart. Jill Stein and especially Gary Johnson are saying, if you're fed up with the two major party nominees, I don't care if you're with me in every issue or not, but I'm an alternative for you. And they both kind of have some experience at appealing to younger voters. And so, you know, this is a real issue.
a big difference from 2000 was in 2000, both Al Gore and George W. Bush were actually very well liked, and so Ralph Nader had to be a better known quantity, versus this time around, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are not very well liked, so they're basically looking for any name on the ballot, and Gary Johnson is probably going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, so he could be a very likely option for these people who are fed up with both the major parties.
I think I saw a headline today saying that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are now tied for their unfavorables. Trump had both sort of at historic high unfavorable rates, but right. Trump had been higher, now they're tied?
Exactly. If you look at Gallup's poll, for instance, which tracks it daily, they have a tracking poll, they are both now at 37% favorable ratings. If you looked at Gore and Bush in 2000, for instance, they would have been well above 50% at this point.
Are you in the interpretation business of why, during the course of this last week or whatever it is, Hillary Clinton might have moved from slightly less unpopular than Trump to equally unpopular?
Two things that happened. Trump saw a bounce coming out of the RNC, and I think Clinton with the FBI stuff and plus the RNC, you know, basically trashing her, I think helped move her down a few points.
Kim in Salem, Massachusetts. Kim, you're on the air. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. So as a former Sanders supporter, my main concern, you know, just watching the DNC start off this week is why she's kind of appealing to the more progressive liberals to kind of pull more towards her centrist agenda, when I think she should be taking advantage of the kind of schism in the Republican Party and pulling some of supporters who might be voting for Gary Johnson towards the left.
That is a very interesting question, Kim. Let us pick it up right here. I mean, traditionally, everybody tacked to the center after the primaries. This time, Hillary Clinton definitely not doing that. At least you don't feel it in this hall. The Sanders people have been here. They've been demanding. They're pressing for a much more progressive posture. What about Kim's question? If she's responding to that and is seen to be going left to get the Sanders people, is she losing something that she might have had in the center?
I mean, conventions are both the end of the primary process and the beginning of the general election process. At both conventions so far, it's felt more like that first part, which is unusual for modern conventions. But the discussion in the hall has been about paid family leave and $15 minimum wage and Black Lives Matter. It's been quite a liberal platform so far. They haven't had too many centrist speakers come out. Likewise, in Cleveland, you didn't see that much appeal to really appeal to the center at all. It was
almost
kind of
mute.
Doubling down.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bill Clinton's speech tonight, he's all of a sudden now the Clinton coalition of 92 and 96 is dated, and some of that has moved back to Trump.
The Clinton coalition, remind our younger listeners what that meant exactly.
You know, Clinton won all types of southern states and all types of rural states and really brought that vote back.
As a centrist, saying, I'm not the old liberal Democrat. I'm something new. I'm a new Democrat.
Exactly. And now both parties have become much more polarized, although it's moving in so many different directions now. It's no longer a two-dimensional polarization. But, you know, will Bill Clinton tonight can do one of three things. He can bash Trump. He can celebrate his wife's accomplishment. Or he can try to say, this is why the Democratic platform is still the right platform for all of America. Can he do all three things at once? I think if you try to do all three things at once, you get a little bit lost and pulled in different directions, maybe like Senator Warren's speech was last night.
What about Hillary Clinton herself? How much can she do all at the same time? Can she be centrist and leftist and progressive and...
Well, what's the one major decision that she's made in the last week? She picked Tim Kaine to be her vice presidential pick. Tim Kaine, while could be characterized as liberal, is certainly not as liberal as Bernie Sanders or as progressive as Bernie Sanders. He is more towards the middle of the Democratic Party. Some might even say more towards the right part of the Democratic Party. So I think she's trying to have it both ways. She's with the speakers that so far have spoken have been more liberal. But the one selection that she's made, Tim Kaine, she's clearly playing towards the middle with him. We'll see what exactly she says on Thursday night and see how she tries to spin things.
Arun in Orlando, Florida. Arun, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me on the air. Well, I was calling in regards to how it is the more of the fringe Democratic supporters are actually Trump or Bernie or bust type of situation. I'm not necessarily a Republican person at all, but and I'm surprised I would even consider voting for Trump. But unless she goes more to the left, these people, the new Democratic Party goers, me included, we will feel that maybe, you know, we shouldn't be limited to these two options and actually show our defiance by voting for Trump in a sense. Like the other call said, at the end of the day, it is 4 years. And, you know, at least we don't get the TPP with Trump either. So
Arun, are you ready potentially to do that, to vote Trump, to show defiance to Hillary Clinton?
I will say yes. Because it is not as diabolical as the campaign that Trump is running, mainly to get these votes. The media, the lights, limelight, all the stuff around him, is he's trying to win the primary and he's trying to get these votes.
I think we got the bottom line there. You might be prepared to go to Trump. How big a factor is this? People who, Bernie people saying, forget it, I'm going all the way the other direction.
I have very few voters at this point are saying who voted for Sanders in the primary that they vote for Trump. Again, much more likely that they'd vote for Stein or that they would vote for Johnson. But I should note that a higher number of Sanders supporters during the primary season have voted for the opposite party in the past than either Clinton supporters, Cruz supporters, or Trump supporters. So it shouldn't be too surprising that some of them say they wouldn't vote for Clinton, but they probably haven't. A lot of them have been voting Democratic all along.
Nate, remind us of the big numbers today as we sit here, not the now forecast, but looking to November. Odds of Trump, odds of Clinton by your calculation.
Odds of Trump are about 40%, therefore Clinton about 60%.
40 Trump, 60 Clinton, and the next 3 weeks could tell us a lot about exactly how this unfolds.
For sure. Those probabilities become much less fuzzy in a couple of weeks.
40, 60. What's the track record historically? If somebody has a 60% odds at this point in the season.
Those are straight up, 3 out of 5. So it's basically, Ted Williams getting a base hit 40% of the time. We think if you took this information that we have from the election right now, where it's basically tied, but it's in the middle of the GOP convention bounce, we think that Republicans win that about as often as Ted Williams gets a base hit.
In 1941. He didn't bat 400 all along.
We got a Ted Williams metaphor on the night, sports metaphor on the night, when a woman takes the nomination of the Democratic Party for the presidency of the United States. Nate Silver and Harry Enten of 538 and the Elections Podcast from 538. It's great to have you with us here in the hall in Philadelphia tonight. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nate Silver, Harry Enten of 538.